that in today's society, in today's culture, just about everything we have and do says something about us. The stores we go to, the restaurants we used to be able to go to, they all take on their own personality. Let me give you an example. Something as simple and as basic as your phone. The iPhone versus the Android phone. We all know that only smart, well-educated, and creative people use iPhones. And all the unoriginal people use the Android phone. And don't get me started with flip phones. Now, of course, I kid to make my point, but even something like your phone has a personality and says something about you. Even churches today take on a personality or are known for certain things. Take a very modern church that meets maybe in a storefront in a big city. It might even have a coffee shop inside. We would say that that's a very modern or maybe even a cool church. Or a church that's very big, puts on big musical concerts with laser lights and fog machines. Again, this has its own personality of possibly a mega church or a church of entertainment. Or take a little church in the suburbs that sings the old hymns and would not know what to do with a fog machine if we had one. People would say that that's a traditional church. I'm speaking in big generalities, again, to show my point, that even churches take on a personality. But no matter what personality a church has, no matter what personalities we as a church have, we must be known as a church of love. Yes, love for Jesus Christ. Yes, love for the gospel, but we should be known as a church that loves people, a church that loves one another, that we should love one another. That is the title, Love One Another, and the topic of this next section in 1 John. As we continue in 1 John this morning, our text is 1 John chapter 3, 1 John 3, verses 11 through 24. 1 John 3, 11 through 24. And I'll read that for us this morning. 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 24. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brothers is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's good and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are the truth and reassure our hearts before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. Love one another. It sounds simple enough, but let's see what John has to say this morning. John has addressed this topic of love already in this letter in 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, we looked at love for our fellow believers in our fellowship with them. A believer who is walking in the light will show evidence of that walk by their love for fellow believers. Last week we talked about our position in Christ as his children, as the children of God, and that we are born of God. Christians, believers, love one another because we have all been born of God, which makes us all brothers and sisters in Christ. We looked last week that a true child of God does not live in continual, unrepented sin and lawlessness. A true child of God practices righteousness. Love is an evidence of that righteousness, an evidence of walking in the light. This section that we are looking at today is talking about love, love for the brothers and sisters in Christ. The last verse of our passage last week, verse 10, touched on this to shift us into this next section in chapter 3. The end of verse 10 says this, "Nor is the one who does not love his brother," is referring to those who are not of God, those who do not practice righteousness, and those who do not love his brother. In chapter 2, we saw to walk in the light, you must love your fellow believers. Now, in this section of chapter 3, John gets deeper into this topic of love one another. John is going to show two ways to live. We'll look at two ways to live a life without love. We will look at first, and then we'll look at a life full of love for one another. So firstly, a life without love. We first look at a life without love, and John gives us a negative example. We come to verse 11. This is the message that you have heard from the beginning. We've heard that phrase before, from the beginning. John keeps going back to this phrase to emphasize, especially in that day of false teachers, that this is not a new teaching. This is not a new revelation, but it is what you have heard from the beginning. This is important because we know from the study of false teachers that they try to teach a new message, a counterfeit gospel, that they claim they received new revelation from God. That is why John is so adamant to keep using this phrase to ensure this is not false teaching, but it is what you have heard from the beginning. He goes on to introduce what he has already referenced in verse 10, what this section of chapter 3 is all about, that we should love one another, that we should love one another. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. The entire message of the gospel is love. For God so loved the world. The Westcott Study Bible said this, "The phrase that we should love one another proclaims the first message of Christianity. Since the nature of God as light is the foundation of the gospel that was received from the beginning, so the command to love one another has the same origin. Love is not merely the application of the message, but the goal established from the beginning. The whole aim of the gospel is the creation and strengthening of love. The words love one another do not simply give the content of the message, but its aim, its purpose. John now takes us to the example of a life without love. John uses the example of Cain. We all know the story of Cain and his brother Abel from Genesis 4. Verse 12 says this, "We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous." Children of the devil pretend to be believers. They attend religious gatherings, as Cain did. They bring offerings, as Cain did. Those actions, going to church, giving money in the offering plate, are not proof that a man is born of God. The real test we see here is love. Love for the children of God. And in Cain, we do not see love, but we see hate. This points back to chapter 3 and verse 8. It reminds us that hatred is also from the beginning. Hatred and love. A child of God or a child of the devil. We need to see today that it's not that Cain, by murdering his brother, became a child of the devil, but being a child of the devil, his actions were evil and showed his true self in the murder of his brother. His brother's acts were righteous. Righteousness draws hatred from the devil and hatred from the children of the devil. This is the reason for the murder. Darkness cannot tolerate light because in light, the acts of darkness are shown. They're shown to be what they truly are, hatred. Hatred that can lead to a brother murdering his own brother. Cain's attitude represents the attitude of the present world. The world hates Christ for the same reason Cain hated Abel. Christ, the light, shows the world's sin and reveals its true hateful nature. When the world, just like Cain, has to face light, has to face the truth, they have a decision to make, love or hate. Repent and change, or destroy and hate the one who is shining the light. That is what we find in this next verse. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. Hatred from the world must not surprise believers. John does not say that the world always hates believers, is not always hated Jesus. But like I said, as Jesus exposed the hatred and the wickedness of the world rejected him. Just as believers expose the hatred and wickedness, as they shine the light on sin, the world will reject them as well. How will we know who has rejected and who has repented? We find the answer in verse 14. Verses 14 and 15 say this. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know we have been born of God. We know we are a child of God. From this verse saying, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Love will not give us passage into spiritual life, but will give evidence of that passage from death into life. But to be unable to love means that a person is without life from the Father and remains in death. John now links hatred with murder. As we can see, this is a very powerful and paramount aspect to the life of a believer. But we also see how strong and dangerous hatred is in life. The fact that you have never actually murdered anyone should not make you proud or complacent, because we will see if you have hated, if you have hate in your heart, hatred that is not confessed and forsaken puts a person in a dangerous position. This verse goes back to the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verses 21 and 22 say this: "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Whoever murders will be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire." Jesus made the two, hatred and murder, equal. In the heart, there is no difference. To hate is to despise. This cuts off the relationship, and murder is simply the fulfillment of hate. The cure for hate is love. It is a lot harder to murder or hate someone that you love. Hating one another is the normal reaction of an unsaved person. But when a heart is open to Jesus Christ, it becomes a loving heart through his grace and mercy. Then instead of wanting to hate others, you want to love. You want to love them and share with them the message of eternal life. We have seen the life without love is a life of murder, is a life of hate. And we are going to see in the next few verses that it is a life of indifference. Christ is the example of true Christian love. Jesus gave his life for us, that we may experience truth. We all know John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." What an amazing blessing and encouragement this verse is to us. The only action this verse is calling us to do is in faith believe. But do we know 1 John 3:16? 1 John 3:16 says this: "By this we know love." I'm sorry. 1 John 3:16, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." Christ's love involves sacrifice and service. Christ did not simply talk about his love. He died. He took action. This verse is a call to action, much more involved than the well-known verse of the Gospel of John 3:16. 1 John 3:16 calls us, yes, to love, but to turn that love into action as Jesus Christ did. Here in verse 17, we see the indifference to a fellow believer. You might not have murdered. You might not hate, but you could choose to do nothing. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? It's very easy for a person to talk about loving the brethren, but not actually move a person to action. We are called in verse 16 to lay down our life for another brother or sister in Christ. This is the ultimate call to action, the ultimate call to love one another. How can we know whether we would sacrifice our life for a brother or sister in Christ? We can know by being compassionate towards them in their time of need. If we are unwilling to sacrifice material things, to sacrifice financial things for the care of a brother or sister in Christ, then we know we are unwilling to give our life for them as well. Which from this passage tells us the love of God is not in us. What are the conditions for our involvement with our brothers and sisters in Christ? We can see from this verse, if we are in a position to see them with our own eyes, the need, and can offer to help, then we must act. To do nothing for a brother in need, to shut off compassion, is to deny the presence of God's love in your own heart. If we want to experience and enjoy the love of God in our own hearts, we must love others, even to the point of sacrifice. Being indifferent to a fellow believer's needs means robbing yourself from the love of God. We cannot be indifferent to the needs of others. You can easily say you would not murder as Cain did. It might be a little bit harder, but you could say, I will not hate. But how easy is it to be indifferent to people? This might be the most difficult one to overcome. We can see from this verse that indifference shows that God's love is not abiding in you. We have seen a life without love. It is a life full of murder, hate, and indifference. It is a life that is absent of love and a life that is not abiding in Him. If we want to abide in God's love, we must not murder. We would all agree on that. We must not hate. We would all agree. It might not be easy, but we must not hate. And we must not be indifferent to the needs of fellow believers. Next, we will look at a life full of love. Little children, verse 18 starts with. We know that means John is making sure to address the entire congregation. He's emphasizing what he is going to say next. Love requires more than idle talk. Love demands action. This verse is an answer to the previous verse 17. If you see a need and have the resources or the means to fill that need, do it. Don't talk about it, but do it. Let your love take action and fill that need. What is a life full of love going to look like? First, we'll see from verse 19 and 20 that a life of love is full of assurance. Those verses say this, by this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before Him. For whenever our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. And He knows everything. If we know that we truly love with actions and not just with words, that knowledge will not only assure us that we belong to the truth, but will also act to set our hearts at rest whenever our hearts try to condemn us. What is stressed is love. Love is that always expressing itself in deeds or actions. This love is reassuring evidence that we are of God. Even though at time we face doubt, we might face guilt and failure in this area, we must remember that God understands everything. His word and His truth are greater than our feelings or our fears. We may rest ourselves in His love for us and live in that love and by that love. A life of love gives us assurance in Christ, and it also gives us confidence before God. Let's look at verses 21 and 22. Beloved, If our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. Love for fellow brothers and sisters in Christ produces confidence towards God. And that confidence in God gives you boldness in prayer. Whatever we ask, we receive from him. John is not teaching us that we can earn answers to prayer by loving fellow believers. He is showing us that love is the fulfillment of God's law. Therefore, when you love the brethren, you are obeying his commandments. If you have peace in your heart because you are living a life of love, living a life obeying his commandments, you will have confidence. Confidence not only at his appearing, as we have previously talked about in 1 John, but confidence in the everyday, in the here and now, especially as it involves prayer. This confidence, this boldness in God will be evidence in the life of prayer. Verse 22 tells us, and whether we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. This is similar to the text from the Gospel of John, chapter 15 and verse 7 and verse 10. Verse 7 says this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And verse 10 says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. We must keep his commandments because it pleases him. We do this out of love, not out of fear. As you live to please God, you will discover that pleasing him becomes your delight. We see this from Psalm 37 and verse 4. Psalm 37 verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. When our delight is in the love of God, our desires will be in delighting him, and our desires will be in the will of God, and we can have confidence in him as we abide in his love. That takes us to the last two verses of this section. If we live a life of full of love, we will have assurance in him. We will have confidence in him. And we will also abide in him. Verse 23 and 24 say this, and this is the commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. Verse 23 tells us the command that we must obey in order to receive whatever we ask from verse 22. The command is this, believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. The false teachers do not love. That is clear. By the reason they do not love, but the reason they do not love is that God's love is not in them. For they have not truly believed in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. To believe in Jesus Christ, in this context, to believe the gospel about Jesus, that he is God's Son, and he came to save sinners. And if you put your faith in him, you will have eternal life. Belief comes first because it is the basis for love. But love is the expression of God's faith. God is revealed in Christ Jesus. To see the Son is to see the Father. To know the Father is to know the Son. Abiding in Christ is a key experience for a believer who wants to have confidence in God. When a believer walks in love, we find it easy to obey God, and therefore we maintain a close relationship with God. There's a mutual reciprocity involved in living in God. We see this from the last verse of our passage. We live in Him, He lives in us. We come to fellowship with the Father through the fellowship the Son has with the Father. The evidence that we abide in Him is our obedience to His command. The evidence that He abides in us is the presence of the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. Each member of the Trinity is involved in the life of love. God the Father commands us to love one another. God the Son gave His life on the cross, the ultimate example of love. And God the Holy Spirit lives within us to provide the love we need. To abide in love is to abide in God. And to abide in God is to abide in love. Let me ask you today, are you living a life without love? Are you living as Cain did and living a life of murder? Or are you living a life without love and full of hatred? As you know from the Sermon on the Mount, hatred in God's sight is the same as murder and has no place in the life of a believer. Or could you be living a life of indifference, not caring about or caring for the needs of your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Or are you living a life full of love? Love for one another in obedience to the command of God. This is the only way to live a life that is abiding in God and God in you. Be honest with yourself today. Are you abiding in Him? Are you loving your fellow believers the way God has commanded us to love? It might be easy to not give into murder and hate, but it can be very easy to give into indifference. Walk in the light as He is in the light. Walk in love so you can abide in Him. Love one another just as He commands us. Let's pray together. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we do humbly come. And Lord, we know that You are a God of love. And Lord, we know You gave Jesus Christ as the ultimate example of love, as the ultimate example of action as He came to this world, fully God and fully man, willingly died on the cross to take our place so that we could have eternal life. And Lord, we do pray this morning that because of that love of Christ, because of the love of God has given us, Lord, I pray that we would in turn show that love to one another. Lord, I pray that we would abide in You, that we would abide in love, and that in our everyday life, we would not give in to hatred, we would not give in to murder. Lord, especially we would not give in to indifference. Lord, we would love. Lord, teach us to love. Show us to love as You love. Lord, give us the grace and the mercy that we need every day to love one another, to be there for one another, to lift one another up in prayer. Lord, as we love one another, we would pray for one another. We would see one another. We would be there for one another. Lord, I pray that Grace Community Chapel would be known as a church full of love for one another. Lord, we do pray this in Your name. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you.